Communication. In families, you know, a lot of times communication is a tough thing. And I think the basic reason for that is, you know, we got these things going on called emotions. You know what I mean? I got a witness, right? We got emotions, you know, and we know how to push each other's buttons. Sometimes we do that, you know, unintentionally. Sometimes, unfortunately, it happens intentionally. And our kids know that stuff, too. You know, so a lot of times, you know, we just run into problems when we're trying to communicate with one another. And in that way, God misses the glory. Now, there are different types of communication, two types, basically. Does anybody have an idea what that might be? Direct and indirect, verbal, nonverbal, raising your hand and not raising your hand, right? All that stuff. Yeah, verbal and nonverbal. And also within verbal, you know, you've got a lot of different things too. Your tone of voice, your voice inflection. You know, it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, excuse me. Now, there's another couple of two components of communication. Now, who will want to raise their hand and say what those two components of communication are?
The right way and
the
wrong way.
The right way and the wrong way. Listening and speaking. And a lot of times, I think we overlook the listening part, and we go straight to the talking part. But everybody says God gave us what? Which means we should do what? Right. Psalms 19:14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So what's going on in our homes as far as communication is concerned? Because the Bible says, of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a lot of times our kids are imitating, just simply imitating what they've seen us do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about the emotions, and Richard can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard police officers say that they'd rather go to a drug bust than go into a situation where there's a domestic situation going on. Because there's so much going on with emotions. Yeah. You never know what to expect, you know. It's the, there might have been some abuse going on. You go to arrest the father and the wife jumps on you, you know, for touching the husband, you know. Am I right, Richard? Yeah? Okay. Okay, so let's talk about listening, because a lot of times we talk about speaking, but let's talk about listening a little bit tonight. Give me some components of what you would think good listening is.
Eye contact.
Eye contact. Very good. Standing quiet. Okay.
Praying.
All right. Go ahead, Dan.
Having your answer, your preparing right, or just totally focused on that instead of actually hearing what's being said.
That's a good one. That's already really judging what the other person is saying.
Being attentive.
Very good. A lot of times we have to focus not just on what we're hearing, but you have to focus on the emotions behind it. You know, and our kids at this age are full of emotions, you know, and I know, you know, my daughter, when she was in middle school, well, still, she's got to get it out. When she comes home, she's going to tell you her whole day, you know, and you just got to be ready for it. And the thing is, of course, you're only getting one side of the story, you know, but we have to be in tune with the emotions behind what she's saying also, because a lot of times she's very, very upset about something that's going on during the day. And so we've got to pay attention to what she's saying, look at the situation, and then, you know, try to, like Danny said, not really already judge what our response should be, but be able to see where she's at emotionally. You know, and in this class, what we want to do is really try to focus on the heart of the matter. You know, what's going on in our kids' heart, what's going on in each other's hearts. You know, I said earlier that, you know, a lot of times the kids just imitate what we see, what they see in us. And I know, you know, this is something I had to correct in my life. It's like, if I'm driving down the street with Danny, going someplace we've been before, and he's driving, he makes a wrong turn. I say, Danny, you missed a turn. But if my wife was driving and she missed a turn, I might be like, you know, what's the matter with you? You know, we go this way all the time. You know, so it's and that's how it is, you know, with families, because we know they love us and we think we can sometimes just get away with things. You know, so we've got to be very, very careful, very cognizant of that type of stuff. You look like you're in deep thought, Roxanne.
No, just listen.
Okay. 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 There's a... Okay. Amen. I appreciate it. The Bible says a whole lot of stuff about listening. And I know I've got it written down here somewhere. Well, I don't have it written down here. I have something else written down. But anyway, one part of listening, and we learned, is active listening. You know, a lot of times when you're communicating, you know, with your children, it's good to repeat what you've heard them say. You know, so, you know, you're telling me this, this, and this to make sure that you've got it clear, because, you know, the two parts of communication are you're sending out a signal, you're sending out something, and the other person has to receive it. And for some reason, what you're sending out isn't always what they hear. You know, has anybody experienced anything like that?
Definitely.
Okay, anybody got examples of it? Go ahead, Joe.
I teach this lesson all the time at work in one of the classes at TSA, and I have all the adults in the class break up into two teams and play the telephone game. And you give a message, and it's kind of a setup because it's like...
No, just come closer for the mic. Okay.
I teach this class for the TSA, and they play the telephone game. You give them the message. And then after you give them the message, obviously it gets butchered as it goes down the line. It gets shorter and shorter. It's bad. One of the things we see is with the sender and receiver, the sender has a message in their mind, call it X. By the time it gets to their mouth, it's Y. By the time it gets what the other person hears, it's Z. So there's small changes in what you think and what you actually communicate, and it's that much different from what the other person actually hears. Mm-hmm. And definitely that comes across in my relationship with my kids, because, you know, sometimes it seems like they're listening to a completely different conversation than the one that I had with them. And I was like, you just want to choke them. Because it's like, I know what I said to you, and I know what you did, and they're not even in the same zip code.
Right. Very good. Go ahead, Karen.
I just had this conversation with my son on the way over here. I said, we were talking, and his thing was, I just don't like when people repeat themselves. And I was like, okay, so this, and I said, okay, I thought about it. I said, okay, this is the thing. This is what we're going to do from now on. I'm going to say something. I'm going to have you repeat it right back to me so I know that you understood. Because I don't like it when you say, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to do from now. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to say it, but you're going to repeat it back to me so I know that you got it. So that way I'm not saying it over and over again, and it's tending to get on your nerves, and then you're not doing it. So I'm going to have you repeat it back to me, and we're going to eliminate that. So, because that's, I mean, he was getting frustrated because, you know, I'm saying to him, okay, he ain't acknowledging that he understands. So I keep talking, you know.
Right.
I'm like, well, Mama, I understand. So I'm like, you know, coming on the conversation. And then after a while, you look at him, and he's over in La La Land.
Right.
Because he's totally tuned off from what I'm saying. So, you know, that's what we decided that we're going to do so that we can eliminate the repetition. But I told him, I said, that's how you learn, though.
Right.
That you know, you need to repeat it. In order to learn, you need to repeat it. But obviously, that gets on his nerves, so we'll eliminate.
Yeah, but that's very good. That's called active listening, where you have the other person repeat, so there's clear understanding, you know, and what's going on. Ms. Beavers?
Sometimes in my household, that does not work.
Or,
active listening.
Okay.
Because, okay, well, Alexa, she's in middle school, but she is deemed ADD. Alice is deemed ADHD, so the difference. One has attention deficit, the other one has the hyperactivity side. So I can repeat things to Alexia because she's very detail-oriented. I can tell her something, have her repeat it, and then She'll go back and say, what was that again? And it's like there's a disconnect between her hearing it, repeating it, and then going through, you know, and following through with it. So it's kind of like, I don't quite get, you know, it's like to keep repeating it over and over and over, it's like beating the dead horse. So
I think the repeating it and understanding it with Kayla. Kayla's like that. She's very detail oriented. But when I say something to her, she's so all over the globe. Don't move. Did you understand what I said? Well, what do you understand about what I need you to do? Because I need her to say it, but I need her to say how it's working in her mind so I can see where she's at. Because the repetitiveness, the difference is when you repeat something, they're just going to repeat it back. As opposed to, how did you understand that? What would you get from what I just said? Because with the four of them, they all have their different personalities. And how I learned the most is listening to them work with one another.
Okay.
And asking them when I talk to them, you know, what did you understand from what I just asked you to do? Do you understand what's going to happen if you don't do what I asked you to do? Good or bad, you know, even
right.
if it's a good thing, you know, do you understand what's going on, what's behind it? Not just, I'm telling you something, you need to do it. I'm telling you something, it has a consequence or it has a reaction. What do you get from that? What do you understand about that? Because when they connected that way to a feeling, it's a lot different for them.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, it connects and it stays longer than, I told you to do something, go do it.
Yeah.
So I always make them repeat back to me. Not only did you hear what I said, you understand what I'm saying? What do you understand about what I'm saying? And it's not a negative thing. It's actually, it works with them. It helps them to say, you know, okay, you want me to do this because, or I need to do this because. So that's my connection, because Michaela's the same way. She's like, la, la, la.
Yeah, you're absolutely yeah. right, because remember, we got all these emotions going on, okay? And a lot of times you got to ask a lot of questions, you know, when you're trying to get your message across. And some of it could be, well, how do you feel about what I just said, you know?
Yeah.
Or what are you feeling right now? Because they might not know verbally or, you know, how to express it, but they can tell you how they feel.
Exactly.
You know, so we've got to be able to do that, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, with ADD or ADHD, it's like 10 people talking to you at the same time. And so with ADD, ADHD, it's very brief, very clear. One instruction at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on and say a whole bunch of stuff after you give them one instruction, you won't get it.
Mm-hmm. That's Roxanne. Huh?
Well, I have a different viewpoint on that, actually, because, you know, when we got Ephraim and Stephanie, Ephraim was ADHD. But I really believe that kids can be trained to listen and to obey and to pay attention, and I agree in one sense with what everybody is saying is that you do have to make sure that they understand and that there is an expectation. But I think the thing that we've had to do is we have worked with them and trained them, because when Ephraim and Stephanie first came to live with us, he couldn't sit still in the chair. He could not. Stay turned around and face the front. He couldn't do homework. He couldn't do anything. Couldn't ride the school bus. Couldn't do anything. But what we had to do was very deliberately outline our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then there had to be a consequence. Well, as time went on, I remember very, very plainly having a parent-teacher conference, and we thought this child was ADHD. What has happened? He started sitting there and paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because we started disciplining him when he did not. And so what ended up happening is we set up a communication with the teacher. We were very diligent at home. And I think that the difficult part about it is taking the time to follow through.
Because
a lot of times you get tired, they disobey, they don't do what you ask them to do, and it gets frustrating, and then you say it again, and then stuff ends up happening, and you forget about it, or you're tired, or you got to run to the grocery store. And I think the biggest key for us was as a home school communication, and at home, okay, we're going to follow up on that.
Yeah.
And we're going to see, did you do what we said?
Okay.
If you didn't, there's a consequence. If you did, good job.
Yeah.
You did it. And then we progressed,
yeah.
progressed. And it was a very long process, but it children can be trained to listen, and they can be trained to even do what you ask them to do when they're not around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. I think Richard had something.
I was saying as far as teaching something to do, I think it's an opportunity to teach them how to think. And whereas I grew up where my mother said to do it and I did, it wasn't why or no, it was
right.
You know, I had to come out of that and learn to, I take the time to explain to them, this is why I'm telling you to do this. You know, this is why. Because I don't want you just to do it because I'm telling you. I want you to do it because you think through,
yeah,
and believe it's the best thing for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Stephen still, like even my older daughter, that she's not choosing necessarily right now to do the right thing, but she knows.
Okay.
And I think the whole is, again, it comes back to thinking,
mm-hmm.
thinking.
Okay.
And so many of these kids today, they have no idea how to think. Because somebody didn't have time, because they were like, just do this, and you know, they're pushing them to do what they have to do rather than teaching them as to why.
Right, right.
That's
okay, thank you. Steve,
yeah.
Yeah,
I was just thinking, if each of us remembers back to when we were a child, you can remember instances when you were home, when you were in your bedroom, you were somewhere else, or outside, you heard it, and you didn't answer it. There's an element of listening, which is a choice. A choice not to listen.
Right.
That's a choice that's really, you know, we're focused on the listening side of things, but it often melts into a lack of desire to obey,
right.
or pay attention to you as an authority figure, that I want to, that I have to stop what I'm doing to hear you. And when that's not trained properly, we become
mm-hmm.
like husbands that tune wives out because we focus on just what we want to focus on. And so we really have to look at that. If we don't do a good job, that goes into adulthood.
Yeah.
Of that, where the things that please us are more important than the person that we're with. And so there's aspects to this that are obedience. There's aspects of it that are self-denial, that are, I just want to do what I want to do. And we put labels on this stuff, but it's, a lot of times what I find with the kids is, it's real simple. I'm watching cartoons. I'm playing with a toy. I'm doing what I want to do, and heck, I don't want to do what you want. It really comes down to that so much.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And communication is a skill, you know, and as Richard was saying earlier, that you have to give the reason why. And like you were saying when I walked in, is we got to take it back to the Bible, you know, as far as what we're communicating, why we're communicating what we are, the fact that they should be listening, why they should be honoring their mother and father, so that the days will be long upon the earth and so we don't kill them, that type of thing. And so it's a skill that has to be acquired. And, you know, again, the Bible says a lot about your reckless words. You have to choose your words wisely when you're speaking. I was reminded, you know, that you want your child to be obedient, and there's a choice that they're making. I mean, Matthew must have been 4 years old, and he was playing with his Legos, and I said, Matthew, come here. And I was going up the stairs, and I turned around, and he had gone like this. He gave me the hand. He was like, you know, like, give me a minute. You know, he was doing something. And I was in total shock. I must have stood there for 10 minutes because I just didn't know, you know. So I'm not even going to tell you how it ended, but he ended up coming upstairs, you know, and doing what I asked him to do, you know. But when these things happen, when they don't listen, you know, immediately or obey immediately, what happens? We get angry, you know, and that's when we start displaying the negative aspects of communication. Harsh words, Proverbs 12:18, you know, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The other one that I wanted, where is this at? in your anger, do not sin. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we get angry and we say things that we regret. That continues. That's Ephesians 4:26. It also says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Mm-hmm. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, in the same way that we want our kids to think before they speak or when they make decisions, we have to think also, you know, before we communicate to them. And I know it's a lot of times it can be a knee-jerk reaction between what's going on in the household and what comes out of our mouths. You know, and they're also watching the interaction between the husband and the wife, between mom and dad, between you and whoever you're talking to on the telephone. You know, how's that going? And the kids learn how to communicate based on what we're doing. You know, so we've got to make sure that we're training them up in the right way. I know you're all familiar with James 1. That talks a lot about that. Is it James 1? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You tell me what it is then as I look for it.
Which one you want? Slow to anger?
No, not slow to anger.
James, quick to listen, slow to speak.
Quick to listen, slow to speak. That's the one I was looking for. Right. Right. I'm going to switch places with you guys. You guys come up here. I'm going to sit down there. But anybody have questions or any scenarios, anything we want to talk about? I think we've got a gist of what we're want to cover here. Anybody got anything they want to bring up? No? Any pearls of wisdom, Steve?
Okay.
Okay.
My daughter and I don't think anything like it. Nothing more. And one of the things that's difficult for me is she finds it, like on the way over here, listening to the radio, Zachary is completely calm, he's owned out, he's in his own world. Brittany starts singing loud about something completely unrelated to anything that anybody said all day. She's not singing to us. She's singing in spite of us to take the attention to herself. So, and like the radio's on, and I'm listening to a story on NPR News, and she is singing louder than the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We are 3 feet apart right now. And I'm like, girl, stop. You know you're being rude. And, you know, 5 minutes later, you know, she's not singing as loud, but it's, you know, I understand that she isn't terribly enthused about, you know, the
NPR.
whatever the case may be. But, you know, if she doesn't get to pick what's going on, she's going to voice her displeasure with it by providing her own soundtrack. And it's one of those things that, you know, is current. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to completely crush her own, you know, I'm not sure exactly how to deal with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Russell? Go
ahead. I do that myself. So, it drives my wife and son crazy. My daughter does it, and it drives my wife and son crazy. But I'd say it's just different personalities. Some of it is not her trying to be negative or trying to cause attention to herself. It's just what some people do. I mean, I do it at work. I mean, if people don't see me singing, I hear me singing, they think something.
Well,
just another point. I have four. My 8-year-old, there's the three that do every and anything I ask them, and there's that one. And she tries me for everything she's worth, and she does the same thing. But like he was saying earlier, you have to look at what's behind it. You were listening to NPR. She wanted your attention. She wanted everyone to be paying attention to her. point where she wanted attention. And how do we address that? How do we address she wanted attention? Because my 8-year-old is the exact same way. And where my other children wouldn't have tried it, and I'd be like, you must have lost your mind. And I go, oh, okay, wait. It's not that. She wants my attention. And she just has a different way of getting my attention. My other three, we're very in tune to one another. We shut down everything in the car. That's my only real time with them, single mom, you know, four. We talk in the car, we talk when we're doing things around the house, so that's their attention time. She feels like she's always getting kind of left behind because she's the youngest. So we've even started to where when we leave church and we're talking about church, we do youngest to oldest so that people aren't talking over her and she gets that attention. It's really just about the attention. And she can be an obnoxious little brat when she wants to be. You don't want to say that? That's what she is. The car is completely quiet or we're talking about something and she's, oh my God, Sajita, you touched me. And, you know, she's falling on the floor. It's not that. She just wanted our attention, and she felt like she was getting left behind. It is your new story, and I'm not being like, you know, is your new story really more important than me? That's the drama behind I'm singing, you know. I can't carry a tune, she can't carry a tune. She's just saying, look, hello, I'm over here. You gonna ask me about my day? You gonna talk to me? That's what I get from my 8-year-old. So kind of we had to tailor it to, you know, okay, hey, Kayla, how are you doing today? You know, and everybody has their input on her day. It's not all positive. I have two boys. They're 11 and 10. They can care less about her day. But they're still involved. They still talk to her, even if it's arguing. And her behavior is different. I mean, her behavior is different. Because she's a different child compared to the rest of them. The other three are, you know, they're mild-mannered. We all talk together. We all talk the same way.
Yeah,
she's the complete opposite.
But what do you do if it's never ending? At
she's always that way.
But at what point do you stop? I mean,
it's not necessarily. It's
I'm
not
just asking as the devil's advocate. At what point
no.
do you stop? I mean, do you give into that all the time?
I don't give into it. It's not. What am I giving into? I'm addressing her behavior. I'm saying.
But are you addressing it? Are you
always,
playing into
all,
it?
No, always. We don't. It's not an immediate. And there are steps behind it. It's not an immediate. You know. Oh, you did this thing where you were blatantly trying to.
But
okay.
I feel like that can be detrimental because I feel, and I'm playing the devil's advocate because letting this child think that they're always going to get the attention. At some point, they're going to have to wake up and be like, it's not always about.
Yeah, Roxanne wanted to address this. Go ahead, Roxanne.
Well, I don't know. I think all of us need attention at some point in time in our lives. And you know, we can go about it in a real negative way, or we can learn how to say what we think. And I know with Steve, you know, I could pitch a fit or I could do some crazy thing and want his attention. But at some point, I had to mature enough to be able to look at him and say, honey, I need a hug right now.
Yeah.
Honey, could you listen to me for just a minute? I had a really hard day, and I need you to hear what I had to say. Or could we spend just a little bit of time together? And so maturity helped me to learn how to verbalize what I was really feeling and thinking. And so I think that's part of training our kids,
mm-hmm.
too, is to recognize, kind of like what you were saying, is that, you know, the reason why they're doing this is because they're not being heard for whatever reason. And some of it's absolutely rude. And so the rudeness has to stop.
And the two steps work together, addressing her.